You say, wait a second, sounds pretty harsh. Going to destroy people through famine if they're unfaithful to him? Well, we're going to see that the ultimate unfaithfulness is to reject Jesus Christ. The ultimate unfaithfulness is to reject a faithful God who offered the solution to your sin through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, it's easy to imagine that the fear of eternal punishment would be enough to motivate those outside of Christ to turn to him. But that isn't necessarily the case.
Sadly, Dave, you're correct. But yet, the reality is God does make it clear that there is judgment and punishment for sin. And everyone is accountable to the truth of God and the God of the truth. Well, what do I mean? Well, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, and we're concluding our look at chapter 14.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all it contains, let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And I mentioned this one earlier in Ecclesiastes. After declaring the truth that was brought forth all by one shepherd, speaking of the word of God, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12, but beyond this, my son, be warned, the writing of books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearing to the body. Get that? Side note, I used to have people come and say, what books do you like as a preacher? I go, well, the Bible? I mean, I'm like, I don't have a bunch of books. I like the word of God. You know, nothing wrong with books, but excessive devotion to books is wearing to the body. We should be about the word of God. There's a contrast. The word of God versus excessive devotion to books. Nothing wrong with books, but excessive is wearing to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. There's a judgment, and I'm so glad that I've been spared from that. I'm so thankful because I know my own sin so well. And I'm so thankful I'm forgiven and it's covered. So thankful. Turn to Romans chapter 2. After addressing those who are condemned and under his wrath, those pagans in chapter 1, the Lord goes to speak to the Jews who thought they were saved, but were really not, that they're under the same judgment because they commit the same things. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, therefore you are without cause, every one of you who passes judgment, that you judge another, for you condemn yourselves. Romans 2, verse 1, second half. For you who judge, practice the same things or continually do the same things. And we know that the judgment of God falls rightly on those who practice such things. And do you suppose, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and the revelation of a righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to every man who does good, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For all have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. Those who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers will be justified. Now, in the context of Romans, those who are justified by faith, but they do what is right because they've been saved. He's going to give an example of saved Gentiles who do it naturally, instinctively do what is right because they're saved Gentiles. They do so and they are justified in that context because they've been justified by faith. We see that. So with that in mind, judgment is coming. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will reap. Now, regardless of how you've been told or what you feel, the word of God is clear. He will bring every act to judgment. And this ought to make you tremble if you're not saved. Everything. So if you're prone to believe the lies of the liberal, unbelieving churches that God is a God of love who would never do anything that wasn't loving from our point of view, then you need to remember what we saw even back in chapter 7, verse 4. He said, "For my eye will have no pity on you. I will not spare you, but I shall bring my ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you." When the Lord judges, when you've rejected his provision of salvation, he will not spare or pity you. I looked up the term ruthless. It speaks of without pity or mercy. You see, God poured out his mercy and his love, and if you reject that, then you receive his judgment without mercy. God's a just God. But God is a great God. No one needs to go to judgment. Not one. Because Jesus came. God sent his son and he bore our sins in his body on the cross. He took the wrath of God and bore it for us. He bore our sins and he paid the full price for our sins. And if you turn to Christ and believe in him, acknowledging your sin, "Save me, Lord Jesus," he'll save you from your sins and you will be acquitted. You will have a pardon. You will have forgiveness of sins, and you will not be judged for sin. You will not be condemned for sin. So then, Ezekiel is warning these elders and us, unless you repent, you're going to die in your sins. God's warning through them. And notice, we're going to see that righteous associations don't save you. That's really the point he's making. Let's get back to our passage. Notice this idea of these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. "Son of man, if a country," verse 13, "sins against me by becoming unfaithful, so I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, cut off it from both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness, they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord God." God is saying that even if these righteous men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were there, that the land would not be delivered, that the judgment would still come. And even, as we'll see in a moment, their own children would not be delivered from their righteousness. You see, righteous associations don't save you. Because you go to a good church, because you were born a Christian family, you're born into a Christian household, that doesn't save you. It's only personal righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. And these three men are examples of that faith that produced righteousness. Indeed, we have the same statement in verse 16 and 18, the very same statement. "Though these three men were in its midst as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters. They alone would be delivered, the country, but it would be desolate." Same thing here, verse 18. "Even though these three men were in its midst as I live, declares the Lord, they could not deliver either their sons or daughters, but they alone would be delivered." It is only their own personal righteousness which would deliver them from God's wrath. And then in verse 20, "Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were dismissed, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or daughters. They would only deliver themselves by their righteousness." Again, the point being made over and over again, righteous association. But why is this point being made to them here? Because Israel believed they were right before God because they were Jews. Because they were Abraham's offspring. Because they were God's people. They were his nation. They believed that their association with the Lord and those who were representing him made them right. You see this in the New Testament. "We're Abraham's offspring. We've never been sinners," in a sense they say, right? Well, the reality is we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need a Savior. But why did God choose these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, to illustrate his point? Well, I think, first of all, we need to address non-believing scholars, by the way. Never listen to them. They don't think this is the same Daniel. Well, it is the same Daniel. It's the Daniel from Scripture. Now, Daniel was alive during this time. but he had already exhibited his righteousness back when he was taken captive, when he graciously would not take the king's food. He didn't want to defile himself. And then in the context of Nebuchadnezzar and the threats from him, he was trusting the Lord and thus did what was right. He's an example. They're examples of personal righteousness based on faith. Indeed, Noah. Look at Noah. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. You know who Noah is, right? These days, people don't know who Noah is. Oh, he's the guy at the tire store. Noah is the one from the Bible, right? Look at Genesis chapter 6. I want to start in verse 5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yuck. And the Lord was very sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man from whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things, even and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah, I love this, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The word favor means grace. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. By God's grace, Noah believed in the Lord. He believed in the seed of Abraham to come. He believed. And he was righteous in his behavior because he had a relationship with the righteous God. He's an example of personal righteousness in his obedience to the Lord in the midst of everything going the other direction, right? And Noah was delivered in that context. And we've talked about Daniel. He'd been exiled 8 years before Ezekiel. And because of his faith and righteous behavior, the Lord protected Daniel from Nebuchadnezzar and exalted him in his government. We see that because of his righteousness and trust in the Lord. And then look at Job. Turn to Job chapter 1. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. And we see throughout the discourse that we have with his three friends, we see that, and we see in the end after he repents of his attitude of thinking God should give him a reason, right? We see that Job trusts the Lord, that Job actually spoke rightly of the Lord. In the very end of the book of Job, we see in chapter 42, it came about, verse 7, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right. That helps interpret Job, by the way. People will take pieces out of Job and use them as biblical examples. These guys didn't speak what was right, by the way. Remember that. But he says, have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Job spoke what is right in those contexts with those guys. Yes, he had sin and he did repent, by the way. He wasn't walking wrongly, but God used this trial to expose things where he grew Job and he disciplined him and he repented. Right? We see that. In each case, God makes it clear that these men were righteous in their behavior, thus because of their faith. And yet, if any one of these were to stand and intercede for a nation, they would not deliver anyone but themselves. The point again, righteous associations, religious associations do not save you. The big thing for Israel at this time was thinking they're God's people. God would never do this. We're going to stay in the land. We're fine. We're his people. He's promised it to us. Do you ever hear people who are outright saying they claim God's promises? You go, yikes, that's not going to apply to them. And the promises of God for this nation being taken out of context of their prosperity wouldn't apply to them, but the promises of his discipline certainly did. So certainly these exiles would think that we're Abraham's sons and daughters. So some of you believe because you go to church, you're going to be saved. Some of you believe because your parents are saved, you'll be saved. Some of you believe because your spouses are saved, you'll be saved. Some believe because you live in a Christian nation, you'll be saved. Believe that God will look upon you and spare you and look kindly upon you because of those around you, maybe. But folks, There is salvation in no other name than Jesus Christ. It is only through Christ, and it is a personal salvation. It is not a group salvation. It is a personal salvation. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, God who became a man. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Your church doesn't bring you to God. Church brings you the truth. Hopefully you believe that and go to God yourself. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Are you trusting in anything other than Christ fully to be saved? If you are, you are deceived. It will not save you from God's judgment. You are on the path to God's judgment. Well, notice at this point, as we finish, God clears up the demonic misnomer that maybe some are going to be judged don't deserve it. Well, that little old lady, she doesn't deserve hell. Just because she rejects Jesus, she doesn't deserve hell, right? Or that really nice man who helps the neighborhood out, who's a Muslim, he doesn't deserve hell, right? Well, the reality is, God makes clear that his judgment is fully deserved when it is poured out. Look at verse 21. He's going to explain. For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my four severe judgments against Jerusalem, sword, famine, wild beast, plague, to cut off man and beast from it. He's saying, how much more does Jerusalem deserve it, by the way? We've seen that all throughout Ezekiel. This is emphatic. And the elders might be saying, do they really deserve this? Do they deserve these famine, sword, and beasts and plague? Do they deserve that? In our flesh, we go, how could that be? Is that really just? Well, don't listen to your flesh. Don't listen to mankind. Listen to the Word of God. Look at verse 22. We have a contrast. Yet, behold, survivors will be left in it. That's the land of Jerusalem, who will be brought out. They're going to be brought out in chains, by the way. Both sons and daughters implies that they're the young ones that are surviving, some of them. Behold, they're going to come forth to you. That's to the elders in exile, okay? There's a contrast. They're going to come forth to you. There's going to be some that come forth. And he continues. And you, middle 22, will see their conduct and actions. Then you will be comforted for the calamity which I brought against Jerusalem, for everything which I have brought upon it. What's he talking about here? You might remember in the end of chapter 6, there's going to be survivors, but it's a mixed bag. End of chapter 6, there's going to be a remnant that loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils which they've committed, for all their abominations. We see in chapter 9, there are going to be those who grieve and mourn over sin. They're going to be spared. That's a remnant. But yet here, unfortunately, there will be survivors that don't mourn over their sin. And they're going to be a picture to show these Jews who don't think they deserve judgment that they do deserve it. Then, verse 23, they will comfort you, that's the elders, when you see their conduct and actions. For you will know that I have not done in vain whatever I did to it, declares the Lord. He's going to say their conduct, when you see it truthfully, will reveal they deserve judgment wholeheartedly. And you'll be comforted. Now, this word comfort means to be consoled. You think about something, you go, how could this happen? It's so horrible. Well, when you see their deed, you go, okay. It's actually, they deserve it. The term conduct here speaks of the word direct. It means way in Hebrew. Their way, and that's the path of their life. That's the way they live. And the term translated action speaks of their deeds. He's saying, when you see the way they live and what they do, when they come to you, you will observe them and it will comfort you concerning the judgment I poured out upon them. You see, God sees everything. Remember Hannah's prayer, 1 Samuel 2, verse 3. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. You see, the ultimate unfaithfulness is to reject Jesus Christ. no matter how nice the little lady is, no matter how nice the gentleman is, you will see someday, I believe, just as we see here, that everyone who goes to hell deserved it. Everyone did, for their rejection of God and his gracious provision of his only son who died for their sins. Now you might say, what are these actions that these guys are going to see? What are they going to see? Well, let's finish up with this, but turn to Ezekiel 33. We get a little glimpse here, because in Ezekiel 33, the word comes that Jerusalem has fallen and that there's people there still that are basically saying, hey, we're fine and we're going to make it through this, but they're going to die. But we see from their conduct the same actions and deeds which these people would have brought. Ezekiel 33, verse 22. Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me in the evening before the refugees came. You notice they're not a remnant, they're refugees. You see a different terminology here. And he opened my mouth at the time they came to me in the morning, so that my mouth was open and I was no longer speechless. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, they who live in these waste places in the land of Israel are saying, these are the guys that are remaining after God's judgment. They think things are good, right? Abraham was only one, yet he possessed the land. So to us who are many in the land has been given to us. They're still saying we're going to keep the land after judgment. Is that crazy? Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with the blood in it. You lift up your eyes to your idols and you shed blood. Should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You commit abominations. Each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you possess the land? And he says here, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, as I live, surely those who are in waste places will fall by the sword. And whoever is in the open field, I will give to the beast to be devoured. And those who are in the strongholds and in the caves will die of pestilence. And I shall make the land a desolation and a waste. And the pride of her power will cease. And the mountains of Israel will become desolate so that no one will pass through. Then they will know I am the Lord when I make the land a desolation and waste because of all their abominations which they have committed. Unfaithful to the Lord. Rejecting him. So they're going to come and they're going to be comforted that what he did is not done in vain. End of 23. That I've not done in vain whatever I did to it, declares the Lord. The reality is he would bring sword, wild beast, famine, and plague to cut man and beast off. And the wicked, unfaithful, treacherous, abominable idolaters who would survive would reveal that it was fully justified. And I believe when we see that day when God judges the hearts of men, which we don't see, we will be standing in righteousness with him and we will understand ultimately that every person that is thrown into the lake of fire deserves it 100%. You see, the ultimate unfaithfulness is to reject God's provision of Jesus Christ. He wants a relationship with you, but sin is in the way. And he offered his son to die for your sins, and he did. If you trust in him, you'll be saved. You'll be delivered from the wrath to come. There's nothing else that can deliver you, not church, not your family, not anything. Only Jesus.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Well, my friend, you've heard the truth today, the reality that there is judgment for sin. The soul that sins will die, and we know that it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. But oh, the good news, as we've heard, is that Jesus Christ went to the cross. God took on human flesh, and he went to the cross and bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the full penalty for our sin,
and he died for our sins and rose from the dead. So my friend, today would you turn to Jesus? Would you turn to him and call upon him for salvation, believing that he paid the penalty for your sins? For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you call upon Jesus today?
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.